And now, Prophecy Q&A with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung and Jimmy DeYoung Jr.
Thank you, Jay Johnson. This is Jimmy DeYoung Jr., and you're listening to Prophecy Q&A Live. Well, it's that time of the week again when we take your questions and we get answers. This week, we are joined by Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, my father. As we have done in the past, we look forward to finding Dad. Dad, where are you right now on the road?
Actually, I'm in Terre Haute, Indiana. We'll be leaving here pretty quickly, going out to Oklahoma and then down to San Antonio. Get those grandbabies all ready and prettied up for us. Grandma and Granddaddy are coming, but we're looking forward to the time we'll be with you there in San Antonio before we go over to Houston, back into Chattanooga.
Hey, Dad, we're looking forward to you getting here, you and Mom, and the grandkids.
Wait a minute, Jimmy, tell the truth. You're looking forward to Mom getting there.
Well,
you'll put up with me.
Yeah. Hey, but one of the things that you and I will be doing while you're here is we'll be working on our next video that we're putting out, Return to Eden. Can you just give us a little glimpse of what will be entailed in that video?
Jim, this is a great project that you'll now be working on. You used the camera, did the videotography there on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. You really produced it. I had the opportunity to be the teacher. You asked me to come along and join you. I think doing documentaries on these issues that we talk about on Prophecy Today weekend, on Prophecy Q&A, this is an opportunity for us to document some of the evidence that we have been able to found by a study of God's Word, and then knowing all the players of all these activities in the part of the world where Bible prophecy will be concluded. We're talking about, of course, Israel, and in particular, Jerusalem, and then to pinpoint what's going to happen on the Temple Mount. The reason that the Temple Mount is so key, so sacred to the Jewish people, it is the original site of the Garden of Eden. Now, we don't have time on this broadcast to go into all of that. I do have a CD, a audio series, 5-hour study, entitled Return to Eden. And you can get that if you'd like to go to our website, prophecytoday.com, to the shopping mall. You can order it. But you might want to put in a pre-order for this project. We're going to call the DVD documentary Return to Eden as well. And we'll be on location. We'll be talking with people who give us evidence that this is the site where God created Adam and Eve. It's going to be a great documentary. I would just suggest everybody try to get ready to purchase it and start learning what the Bible says about this very sacred part of the world, of all of creation, the Temple Mount, the original site of the Garden of Eden.
And we've had many, many opportunities to get up there to teach. We take our groups there when people can't. If people go with us to Israel, we've been up there. That is the highlight of our trip. That is so very important in our trip that sometimes we'll even watch the situation as it unfolds in Jerusalem, because the Jerusalem Authority, the Temple Mount Police, or the Israelis that are there have no control over the Temple Mount. We know that, but and so daily we will watch the situation because we want to make sure that we get our groups up onto the Temple Mount, up to the place where the Dome of the Rock is. It's very important to understand that this is the center focus, the past, present, and the future, and God's plan and where the Temple Mount, how that fits in. So very important as to this next video coming out, and we'll be looking forward to you getting here, you and Mom, and we'll be working together on that video. Well, we've got a couple questions that we want to get to right away. And again, Dad, I want to thank you so much for taking the opportunity out of your busy schedule, preparing for the weekend radio program, as you travel on the road, as you're doing all that you are doing. We appreciate the opportunity to spend some moments with you and do this Prophecy Q&A. We have so many questions that come in on a weekly basis. Harold Neely sends in a question. He says, I am 76 years old and still learning. Please go beyond the standard baselines and educate me about the imminent return of the Lord. standard baselines, Theodor Herzl starting modern day, the modern day push for Israel as a state, and the modern language or the ancient language of Hebrew coming back into existence, Allenby, General Allenby, the Jerusalem conquest, Israel becoming a nation in 1948, retaking and the reunification of Jerusalem in 1967, threatened wars with Iran, Egypt, etc. Obviously, I am missing some essential data. I am hard-pressed to use the word soon anymore relative to the rapture. Things just seem to be on a continuum of slowness and delays. Will you help me by giving to me a reality check on imminency? I would be truly appreciative and grateful.
Well, Harold, I kind of have the same feeling that you do. I get up every morning. First prayer that I offer up is, Jesus, let this be the day that the rapture takes place. Last thing I do as I lay my head on the pillow, Jesus, please let tonight be the night that you call us up at the rapture to be with you. So I understand I'm not just quite as old. 72 is my age, Harold, but indeed a couple of more years, I'm sure I'm going to be really concerned about when is this rapture going to happen. I don't want to see the undertaker. I want to see the upper taker. So I can understand your question. Let me go back through that litany of baseline items that you mentioned. Theodor Herzl in the late 1800s established the Zionist movement, and that would be the beginning of the Jews starting to immigrate from all over the world into Israel. Out of 108 nations of the world, throughout these many years since 1897 in Basel, Switzerland, when Theodor Herzl established the Zionist movement, many Jews have come to live in the land. I think the number is about 6.5 million Jews living in the land right now. And unique is the Hebrew language you talked about. Eliezer ben Yehuda single-handedly revived the Hebrew language. The Bible says over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 31 and verse 23, Zephaniah chapter 3, it said that the language would be returned a pure language. And today, the spoken language for the state of Israel is the Hebrew language. It's the old biblical Hebrew that is used. At least 80% of modern-day Hebrew is that Hebrew which has been around since the Lord gave it to the writers of the Old Testament. But in addition to that, Theodor Herzl's establishment of a Zionist movement caused Ben Yehuda, Eliezer, to say, look, we need to speak the Hebrew language. So he started inventing words. He put up an institute to establish new Hebrew words in the language of today. He developed a method of teaching Hebrew called the Ulpan. It's a fantastic indicator that we're in the times of the end. Now, how long is it going to be? We don't know that. Hey, General Allenby, coming into the Middle East and giving an opportunity for the Jewish people to have a piece of real estate. You see, World War I actually developed a land for the Jewish people, and then World War II developed a people for the Jewish land. And that's the way God does things. He did it with General Allenby way back in 1917. Of course, 1948 was the establishment of the Jewish state. Many thought that would be the absolute time when the rapture would take place. But you're right, it's been 64 years since that, and the rapture has not happened, Harold. I'm anxious myself. I know how you're feeling. Everybody say, hey, what about June 7, 1967? Reunification of the city of Jerusalem. Wow, that had to be the time, and it wasn't. We look at the Iranian threat. Everybody's talking about. When I preach, emphasize that Iran is the number one enemy for the Jewish state. They're about to attack, and there's talk going back and forth on each side, saber rattling, indicating that this is very close at hand as well. Well, let me give you the answer, Harold. Here it is. As I understand it, all of the above, the Zionist movement, the Hebrew language, General Allenby, and the Brits preparing a land for a people, 1948, reunification of the city of Jerusalem, the Iranian threat, all of those incidents and events are evidence that the rapture is about to happen and could happen at any moment. That's what imminency means. The imminent return of Jesus Christ is talking about at any moment. We have to be ready. Let me just emphasize a couple of things that you mentioned, but also that are happening today. The alignment of the nations. You talk about Iran. Iran is only one of the Middle Eastern Islamic nations, and that's the lowest common denominator for all of these states that are going to attack Israel. Early on in the tribulation period, that first 6 months of the 7 years of tribulation. By the way, the rapture precedes the tribulation. So this is giving us an indicator of how close this rapture may be. The first ones to make a move in this alignment of nations will be Syria, Egypt, and Libya. That's found in the book of Daniel, chapter 11, verses 40 to 43. Now, those three nations are on the radar screen and are capable of making a move with the Muslim Brotherhood coming to power there in Egypt. When you look at Libya, Colonel Gaddafi's gone. Again, the Muslim Brotherhood. And the major opposition leader in Syria is the Muslim Brotherhood. So those three nations ready to attack Israel. And this is what the scenario in God's prophetic word says. That's Daniel chapter 11, remember, verses 40 to 43. But I think the greatest evidence that the rapture could happen at any moment would be the preparations to build the next temple. The prophet Daniel talked about a temple standing on the Temple Mount during that seven-year period of time. It's Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, where the text says this, "And he," that's the Antichrist, "will confirm a covenant," that's a peace treaty, "with many," that would be the Jewish people and her neighbors, "for 1 week," and that would be the seven-year period of time. Then it says, "And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice to cease." That's giving evidence there will be a temple standing on the Temple Mount during that seven-year period of time. By the way, Jesus confirmed that in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15, where he said, "When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, flee, get out of town, go to Petra," is actually what he's indicating there. And then when you come over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul talks about the Antichrist walking into a temple and, in fact, going into the Holy of Holies and claiming to be God. And that means there has to be a temple on the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem during that seven-year period of time. And, of course, in the book of Revelation, John the Revelator is told to measure the spot for the temple. Get ready to put it up. And that's Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, and it's talking about the temple that will be there in Jerusalem. Now, Jesus Christ is going to build a temple when he comes back. That's Zechariah 6:12, and he'll rule and reign from that temple, Zechariah 6:13, forever. But there's going to be a tribulation temple. The schedule of events to unfold would be like this. Next is the rapture, then the seven-year tribulation period, the second coming of Christ, then he builds his temple for that millennial kingdom. But if we are so close to everything being ready and all the preparations, if you don't believe that, you need to get a copy of Jim's documentary, Ready to Rebuild, Revisited. He asked me again to be the teacher on it, but he's produced a documentary to help us understand how close we are to the building of that temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. That will be the tribulation temple. And Harold, I have to believe that all the preparations completed, ready to put that temple up, the anticipation by the Orthodox Jews of it going up at any time is the greatest indicator the rapture could happen at any moment. But, you know, the Lord is making that decision. You and I are not the ones doing it, Harold. We're just supposed to stand by and keep praying, even so come, Lord Jesus. But as we do, make sure we're walking pure and productive until that rapture does call us to be with him in the air. And I'm going to say it could be today, so let's keep looking up just in case it is.
Hey, Dad, could it be as simple as our concept of time versus God's concept of time?
I mean, Jim, that is definitely true. God has his plan. You know, what he says over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 is very important. He says, "I'm not slack concerning my promise. I am going to come, but I'm not willing that any should perish, but all should come to know Christ as Lord and Savior." And the verse just before that, he did say, hey, a minute is as a thousand years, you know, is a day or whatever. So it is concept of time. But all the indicators to me, and I hope and pray that we've helped Harold to see that as well, indicate the rapture could happen at any moment. I wake up every day believing that's going to be the day. Now, at night, I go to bed just a bit disappointed, but I get up the next day starting all over again.
Amen. Amen. Jill Green sends in a question, and her question is referring to something that was posted on Facebook. Lee Smith also sends in a question, and both of these two questions are asking you about a concept of something that you said. Let me just read Lee's question, and then a lot of the people that have sent in questions concerning this will understand Lee's question. I'm studying Revelation, and I came across a passage that I need some clarification on. Revelation 16, 8 and 9 says, "The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. They were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God who had control over these plagues. But they refused to repent and glorify him. If the people had already taken the mark of the beast, then how would they be able to repent? Because I thought by this time the mark of the beast would be on all who had denied Christ, and I thought that repentance wasn't an option after that."
Well, let me answer Lee's question along with Jill Green's question. She was asking what my statement was on it, and they thought they read something that I said that these people would be able to repent even if they had the mark of the beast. The answer, Jill, and also Lee, is that this particular passage is giving me the evidence that they will have an opportunity to repent, even though they have the mark of the beast. Now, notice what the text says again. Verse 8, chapter 16, book of Revelation. "And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire." Men on the earth. This is the fourth vial judgment. There are only three more judgments after that, and they are intensifying in their judgment upon the people on the earth. There are a total of 21 judgments in the tribulation period. That would be seven seal judgments, chapter 6 of Revelation, seven trumpet judgments, chapters 8, 9, and 11, and these seven vial judgments found here in chapter 16. And, of course, as we look at it, it's going to be very intense and probably within the last couple of months, maybe 6 months out before the return of Jesus Christ. So the judgment's coming upon. The whole purpose for the judgment, listen to me, folks, the whole purpose for the judgment is to cause men and women on the earth to repent, to turn to Jesus Christ. That is a part of the reason for the tribulation period. There are three reasons, basically, to bring the Gentiles to the end of their power and control over the Jews and the city of Jerusalem, to bring an end to the satanic trinity. And, of course, when Jesus Christ comes back, he takes the Antichrist and the false prophet and tosses them into the lake of fire, puts Satan in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and then throws him into the lake of fire. But the reason, the other reason for the tribulation period is to turn the Jews to Jesus Christ. Now, Jews could be those who have taken the mark of the beast, but not only to turn Jews to Jesus Christ, but to turn Gentiles to Jesus Christ as well. Well, this judgment of the sun scorching man on earth, look what happens. Verse 9, "And men were scorched with great heat, and they blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." Now, hold it just a minute. How can you not repent if you cannot repent? Do you understand what I'm saying? If you are capable of rejecting what the Lord is doing and deciding, "I'm not going to repent, I'm not going to turn to Jesus Christ," you could only do that if you had the capability of repenting. In verse 11, it is basically saying the same thing. There's more judgment in verse 10. Look what it says. "And the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain." Hey, listen, take your tongue, stick it between your teeth just a moment. Now bite down on your, oh, that hurts, doesn't it? Of course it hurts. But can you imagine you were in so much pain during this time, you would gnaw your tongue and that would relieve your pain. But look at verse 11. "And blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they repented not of their deeds." There's two verses in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. This is just prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these are people who say, we're not going to repent. In fact, we're going to blaspheme you. Well, these people, of course, will have received the mark of the beast. Now, how do I know that? Go back to chapter 13. In chapter 13, the Antichrist and the false prophet are involved in trying to make the world worship Antichrist, basically. And the Antichrist, in the first 3.5 years, sets up a false religion in Rome, Italy. He destroys that along with the help of the European Union at the end of that time. Then he goes to Babylon, and he sets up a one-world economic power base. And in order for him to succeed with having all the merchants of the world join forces with him and then making everybody else in the world take a mark, identification mark of some type so they can buy or sell, he's got it all under control. But I want you to notice who takes that mark. Chapter 13, verse 16. It's talking about the false prophet here. And he causeth all, listen, that word A-L-L means everybody. He causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bound, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. That's everybody. That's all on the earth at that time, and that would be at the midway point of the tribulation, and that no man might buy or sell, save he hath the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And so everybody on earth at the midway point of the tribulation is going to have to take the mark of the beast. Whether they want to or not, they're going to have to take it. It says all are going to take it. Now go back to chapter 7 of the book of Revelation just a moment. In chapter 7 of the book of Revelation, it is the record of the 144,000 male virgin Jews who will go across the world preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That would be verses 4 to 8. Verse 9 says, a multitude that no man can number of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues shall come to know Christ as Lord and Savior. Well, that's an interesting thought. There will be people being saved during the tribulation period. But wait a minute. At the midway point, according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, after the abomination of desolation in the temple in Jerusalem, the great tribulation gets underway. That's the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Intense judgment will be released. Satan, all of his evil angels, will be thrown out of heaven down to the earth. Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 17 talk about the intensity that the devil and all of the evil angels will have in their effort to wipe out mankind, and in particular the Jewish nation of Israel, because they know if they can wipe out the Jewish people, then God is incapable of keeping his promises to them. But here in chapter 17, look at verse 13. And one of the elders, after seeing all this happen, now this is, of course, into the future, which John is being able to see, he says, well, wait a minute, who are those in white robes down there? And then the Lord says, hey, wait a minute. John says to the Lord, and he said unto me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made white in the blood of the Lamb Jesus Christ. Therefore, they're going to serve the Lord. That means after the time that everybody was to receive the mark of the beast and start to worship Satan, they are going to have an opportunity to get saved. These are people who got saved, who repented. What time during that last 3.5 years? It doesn't say. These are people who came out of the great tribulation. Now think with me just a moment. Has anybody worshiped Satan in our world today? Well, of course they have. Mm-hmm. There are Satan worshipers who have come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They repented. They got saved. What does repent mean? Doing about face. You know, I did this, I've been doing this, but I'm going to turn and go back the other way. Listen, taking the mark of the beast is not the unpardonable sin. The unpardonable sin is basically rejecting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible teaches us here. You say, hold it. What about Revelation chapter 14, verses 9 to 12? Well, listen, my friend, that's a vision of the future, and those that do not repent. Absolutely. That's what's going to happen. They're going to burn in hell forever and ever. Chapter 14 is made up of a number of visions. It's the 144,000 that stand there on the Mount of Olives with Jesus Christ. Well, that's not happening at that point in time. Also, it's talking about, the Battle of Armageddon and how the blood will flow as high as the horse's bridle. Well, that was not happening. It was looking into the future. And that's what chapter 14, verses 9 to 12 is talking about when it says, those who receive the mark of the beast and worshiped him shall be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. That is true, if they repent not. But there is an opportunity for all to repent, to come to know Christ. There are some deadlines. Let me tell you this. In our world today, if you die without Jesus Christ, that's a deadline. You'll never have another opportunity to receive Christ. Or if you've never received Christ after hearing the gospel, understanding the gospel, and rejecting the gospel that may give you eternal life, if you've done that, those three steps, hear it, understand it, reject it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 8 to 12 says, those who rejected the love of the truth that they might be saved, God shall send them a strong delusion so that they believe the lie. Now that is in effect, and for anybody who before the rapture, after the rapture, it'll be in effect as well. But that is saying because they've come to a deadline, they have totally rejected it. People, if they can repent, they haven't totally rejected it, my friend. I don't know why this is such a problem to people. I've had a lot of questions about this coming from other venues as well, Jim. But the answer has to be, if they could repent not, they had to be able to repent. And that's talking about just prior to the second coming of Jesus Christ. I would say, listen, let's work for everybody to get saved today. And let's be praying for our lost loved ones who may go into the tribulation period. As those 144,000 male virgin Jews reach the world with the gospel, let's pray that they'll come to know Christ as Savior then.
That settles it for me, Dad. Jessica Peck sends in a question. She says, I have a question. I first of all, thank you times a million for answering my questions. And it's so important that people understand the Word of God. This is why I want to ask this question. In Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, what does it mean when it says, some will awake to everlasting life and others to contempt? Because that's not specifically talking about the rapture. I thought it was only...
Now, wait a minute. What did you say, Jim? I think you cut out. You said that is not specifically, or it is?
But that's specifically talking about the rapture. Thank you, Dad. But that's specifically talking about the rapture. I thought it was only for saved people. Is this not the case?
Well, Jessica, we've got to go back and review a couple of things with you before we give you the answer to the question. First of all, remember, Jessica, there are three members of the human family, Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. For the first 2,000 years of human history, from Adam to Abraham, there were only Gentiles upon the face of the earth. Then God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. He comes into what we know as modern-day Israel, and he establishes the Jewish people. So for the next 2,000 years of human history, from Abraham over to the apostles, that would be Genesis 12 all the way to Acts chapter 1, there were Gentiles and Jews upon the face of the earth. Remember, from the apostles to the Antichrist, then the third strand comes in on the day of Pentecost, either Jews or Gentiles. Well, on the day of Pentecost, it was only Jews. It was some almost 15 years later before the first Gentile, who was Cornelius there up in Caesarea, he turned to Jesus Christ. He was the first Gentile. So there will be Jews and Gentiles who make up what is called Christians. Ephesians 2, starting there in verse 11, says, there were two people at enmity with each other, Gentiles and Jews, wall of partition between them. The Lord took that wall of partition out with his death, burial, and resurrection and made two people. So that becomes Christians. So now that, listen, reminding you again, there are three members of the human family. Genesis 1 to 12, only Gentiles. Genesis 12 to Acts 1, Gentiles and Jews. And Acts 2 to Revelation 22, Gentiles, Jews, and Christians. Now, having said that, we're talking about the book of Daniel. There were no Christians on earth at that time. The book of Daniel is to the Jewish people. In fact, Daniel chapter 9, verse 24, the Lord told Daniel, I've got a plan for your people and your holy city. Well, who are the people of Daniel? Oh, they're the Jewish people. That's what this is talking about in chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. When you go down and read the rest of chapter 12, you see that it's going to be a 3.5-year period of time of intense judgment. That's that great tribulation we were talking about earlier on the broadcast. That's that last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. So this will be the resurrection at the end of the tribulation period of Old Testament saints and of tribulation saints. Remember, Christians at the rapture of the church, if they have died, they're in the grave, but the Lord brings their soul and spirit with him at the rapture. He calls their body up. The three are joined together. We receive resurrected, glorified bodies, and we then will be with the Lord forever and ever. So as Christians, that takes place. But these are Old Testament saints who died. They will not go in the rapture of the church, but they will be resurrected. And though this is sounding like it's at one time, it's separate by 1,000 years. Those who are believers in Christ from the Old Testament times, from the tribulation, will be resurrected to help the Lord as he administers the kingdom period for that 1,000 years. You see, the church is the bride of Christ. We're his queen, and the queen and the king will rule over the 1,000-year period of time. The subjects, which would be the Gentiles and the Jews, believing Gentiles and Jews, will do the hands-on operation on the earth. We could take a lot of time to talk about that, just don't have that time today. So those Old Testament and tribulation saints are resurrected. That's Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. There will be a resurrection of the lost into eternal damnation, and that takes place over there in chapter 20 of the book of Revelation, verses 11 to 15. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. Where will these lost people from the Old Testament times and tribulation times be? They'll be in a place called Hades. And at the Great White Throne Judgment, Hades will be brought forth to be sentenced forever into the lake of fire. That's what that's talking about, Jessica. Hope that clears it up for you.
Thank you, Jessica, for sending in those questions. Everybody, thank you so much for sending in your questions. Dad, thank you so much for taking your time. You know, we've had so many positive thank yous to us, to you, for answering their questions as people study God's Word. And then people will download. In fact, I got one email from a young man, a pastor, who said, you know, I covered a question last week on a specific topic related to something, and he had listened to it while he was working, and all of a sudden in Sunday school the next Sunday morning, somebody started talking about something, and he realized from listening to our programs, everything that we provide in your weekend program, your daily program, our prophecy Q&A, he had the answer, and he knew how to react to someone bringing up something that wasn't true. And so, you know, we've had so many people that thank us for all that we do, and I want to thank you, Dad, for all that you do and for continuing on to educate the body of Christ as you and Mom travel on the road, your busy schedules, all that you do. God's given you the ability to just lay this out, but as you have said many times, to take the cookies off the top shelf and put them on the bottom shelf for people to be able to understand Bible prophecy and where we are in light of God's Word and in our world today. So thank you so much for doing that, Dad. And as always, I like to give you the chance for the last word on our prophecy Q&A program.
Well, Jim, those compliments are very appreciated by me. I think you shouldn't have said all of that, to tell you the truth. It's God's Word, and we've just been studying. You're studying God's Word, Jim. You do prophecy Q&A a lot of the time when I'm not available. It's just understanding God's Word. And when you understand God's Word, like we've tried to help our friends who have had questions today, you come to the realization, Harold, I understand it seems like it's been a long time, but that rapture is about to happen. And indeed, everything we talked about on this time together is indicating that is the case. I guess all I would have to say is make sure you're prepared for that rapture, knowing Christ is your Lord and Savior. And in light of it, as we wait for the rapture to happen, let's live pure and be productive until he does come. But my friends, please, with everything I've said today, the indicator is that rapture could happen today. That being the case, let's keep looking up until.